And we're back here on this Wednesday morning in studio with K-State Extension agents James Cooper and Cherry Nelson as we continue on our conversations here in the 8 o'clock hour. Real quick, though, phone lines are open at 620-251-6909 if you have any questions on the upcoming topic, which, James, you kind of gave a preview of it before we headed off to the break there. But again, we'll just go ahead and start with the top. What do you say? A good percentage of basically all land out there is leased or rented or whatever it may be. And with that, there's many different outlets of law that you need to be understanding of. And yeah. I guess that's what we're here to kind of give you the outline, because it's the time of the year that people are, you know, getting those leases re-upped.
Yeah. And the reason for that is because most ag contracts go from March 1st to March 1st. That's the lease year. Mm-hmm. And if you have an oral contract, which most contracts turn into, that's an automatic rule that it's March 1st to March 1st. And if you want to update your contracts in any way, you need to do that 30 days before the March 1st. And so basically, you know, about January the 29th, a few days before the end of the month in January, is when you need to get all that stuff in and set for the next year. And basically, if most oral contracts are because originally there was a written contract years and years and years ago, and then it turned into an oral contract because the contract ran out. And so with that, that's the odd thing about agricultural leases rather than other types of leases. It doesn't end per se. It just turns into a handshake, more or less, an agreement that's unspoken.
Yeah, a lot of times almost a friendship had been created, and now it's just kind of a handshake, a head nod, and like, we're good to go, you know,
yeah,
kind of
exactly.
Whatever. So.
Yeah, but I mean, so this time of year, there's a lot of people that are wanting to update their contracts, and it's really not a bad idea at all. Really, you should update your contract probably every 3 to 4 years, I mean, 2 to 3 years even. And get that thing in writing. Honestly, I mean, ideally speaking, although most of them are oral, it'd be best to have everything in writing every couple of years and keep the things updated, especially when it comes to the rent prices and things like that, too.
Yeah, so. No, and again, it's just making sure the T's are crossed and such, because, I mean, time is usually the one thing that changes the people the most, you know, whatever it may be. But say you got a two-year, three-year plan, that second year comes, yeah, maybe a handshake will do here now. But you're right, every few years, it's probably best to get it down for the record.
Yeah, and most people, it's been a long time since they've updated their prices and numbers, and a lot of people need to stay on that. And that's for the good years as well as for the bad years and when it comes to agricultural commodity prices. So
that's one thing I'm always keeping an eye on, is how much I owe or how much I am owed or whatever it may be. You know, you got to keep an eye on those numbers wherever they go, and because they're going to fluctuate pretty much every year, just about, I would imagine, at least a little bit with that. So it's just a matter of getting ahead of it. So it's a good piece of advice there, is that. And what's probably, you know, your main asked question with it that comes across the table when it comes to it? You know, I'm sure you get plenty of them, but what's probably that just generic question that you get the majority of the time?
The vast majority of the time, they're just wanting to know the lease prices. I mean, average land rental rates. Basically, they have a current contract, usually oral, but they feel like they're not getting a good deal out of it, whether it's the leasee or the landlord, and they want to know what the average is for the area. And we can kind of give them some numbers, but there's a lot of variability when it comes to that, so it's hard to give them specifics.
What's the best way to determine that? I mean, do you guys determine, I mean, is that probably just come down to land value, or where does that kind of come from in terms of those prices?
It comes a little bit from the Statistics Service from the Natural Agriculture, and they send out surveys to farmers and they try to get that data. Farmers aren't very they don't really want to give up data or numbers, but they still want those numbers back, and so sometimes it's kind of hard to find out what those numbers are. But these, of course, are just averages. They don't tell you anything about what the land looks like or what kind it is, and so from there you kind of have to use your best judgment really to get basically a lease that you're comfortable with. And so
certainly, yeah. Now, and Jerry, you've been involved with ag law as well, a little bit here and there, maybe a lot of it that you've had with it. Now, pricing wise, I'm sure is a big question, but kind of where's that one area that people could very easily go wrong? I'm sure not having something written down is a bad start, especially if you don't know the individual. If you have a friendship with them, then again, a handshake or a head nod would work. And in fact, historically, that's probably what the majority as it's been is what it sounds like. But, you know, at the same time, where's kind of the one way that people can go wrong real quick when it comes to it?
Well, I think just not putting your expectations in writing. I mean, if you have a lease with someone and you don't have in writing that you expect them to maintain the fences or, you know, do the weed control or whatever, sometimes that can get overlooked, especially with pasture leases. But I think the big thing I see for people, and I tell them, put it in writing, is if you have somebody and they pass away, the farmer passes away and then his wife comes in or his children have to come in and they have no idea what the agreements are. So it's important to have those things in writing so that the family, everybody knows what's going on, what the expectations are and things like that. So.
Yeah, that's a good point to make. It kind of, you know, it goes both ways for the one leasing the property or the one, the leasee, I guess would probably be the way to describe them with that. You know, you got to know that information. It's got to be there. It's got to be established with that. Now you had mentioned, you know, pasture, there's different areas of lease. And with that, James, I think there's different, you know, maybe different formalities. I'm not sure. You said that there's definitely some differences when it comes. Is that different land? Is it different crop? Is it, I mean, where do those differences come into?
So one difference is actually with wheat. And although we don't grow a lot of wheat around here, it goes underneath an odd thing because if you plant wheat before a termination has been received, well, I mean, now you have a crop that you've put money into, but your lease ends at March 1st. Well, we don't harvest wheat until June, probably. And so actually with Kansas law is although the term of the contract will end March 1st, it doesn't actually end until the day after wheat harvest or August 1st, whichever one comes first. Hopefully your wheat comes in before August 1st.
Yeah.
But, and so it's just kind of an oddity of the rules. And there's a number of different oddities like that. So.
It almost sounds like a grace period a little bit. You know, obviously you put some money into it. It's a lot of money out there in the field in return. So, you know, we're not just going to step in and take this land all of a sudden and take the asset, which would be the wheat that's in the ground there. So that's almost nice to the consumer then, you know, just kind of a grace period with that. Is that something that, you know, here in Kansas, a lot of wheat farmers, is that something that happens often?
Not terribly often because honestly, leases don't really change hands very often. I mean, really, it's things that you've known this farmer for a very long time. And so leases don't change. And the one thing is you can't plant wheat. If you know that you're going to be terminated on that lease and you haven't planted wheat yet, you can't go ahead and plant wheat and expect it to last. I mean to hold on to that land for one more season. And so you have to act in good faith, too.
Yeah, you can't just be like, oh, wait, I have some wheat down.
Yeah. No. And, I mean, the termination of the contracts, they need to happen 30 days before March 1st as well. And so
in writing.
In
writing.
Yeah, and there's some odd little rules that go back decades for that. I mean, you know, you have to give it to the person or you have to give it to someone who's over the age of 12 in the household or, you know, you have to put it in a non-conspicuous place or on their property. And there's some odd things like that. Usually, if you're going to send a termination contract, we suggest use registered mail so that way you have proof.
Yeah, you can go back and show that you did your job with it as well. Your end of the book was taken care of with that. Now, obviously, you had mentioned not a whole lot of wheat down here in the area throughout Kansas. It's all over the place. But what's probably the one thing coming up signing leases that people here in this area need to be concerned about? Is there any major differences compared, or is it just kind of your standard area?
Yeah, and there's not really anything majorly different. I mean, you know, wheat is different, but usually with the corn and soybeans, it kind of goes by the March 1st time frame.
Sounds good.
And so,
Sounds good. Yeah. So with people here in this area, again, if you have questions about it, our phone lines are open here for just a couple of more minutes at 620-251-6909. You can ask questions about it, I'm sure. Again, it just comes down for James. Biggest thing is to get it in writing at least once every couple of years. Just get that updated and stay ahead of the game. That's usually the best bit. Instead of having it be 35 days away that I need to sign my lease contract, you know, do it now.
Yeah.
Do it now.
And there's a... Terry mentioned just briefly about actually fence laws is a whole nother part to this as well. And so fence laws, there's not near as elaborate, but actually there's a lack of conformity when it comes to fence laws. And so usually they say the rule of the right. And so you have a fence between two farmers. Your right part of the fence from the midpoint line is your part of the fence that you're supposed to take care of. However, that's not actually a law. That's just a generality that we've always gone by and think it's law, but really it's not.
It's a courtesy.
It's a courtesy. And so really the law is both farmers are supposed to take care of the fence equally. And that leads to issues every once in a while.
Yeah.
And so
I can imagine. I can imagine. Yeah, you know, you always see those fences, whether it's right down the middle or whatever it may be. It's something that needs to be managed, and usually it's picking the short straw, whatever it may be, and sometimes that ends in an argument or a dispute, whatever it may be. It's always just managing the fence line with it. So is there anything else, like any other little laws like that you kind of change around? I mean, the fence laws, is there other property laws?
And fence laws, there's also one where basically, let's say you have a fence next to a state highway. Well, the state is technically required to take care of that fence. However, you're also supposed to take care of that fence and have your own fence inside of that fence. And so there have been some questions or some issues. Let's say some cows get out onto a road. Well, if they get onto a state road, the state is responsible and you are responsible. If it's a county road, mostly it's you that's responsible for maintaining that fence. And so there's some questions with what legally constitutes a fence. I mean, can you just have one strand of barbed wire? I mean, it depends on whether, you
in
know.
In some people's books, yeah.
Yeah, in some people's books, but is that actually a legal fence? You know, I actually did have a call a while ago. It was a lawyer. What had happened is somebody's cows got onto a road and got hit. Well, that farmer was getting sued because was that fence legally? I mean, was the farmer acting in good interest to keep those cows in?
Yeah, and is that kind of, you know, I'd heard you say around state highways, there's two fences required. Is that for the management of maybe the livestock?
Yeah, as far as it comes for the two fences for the highway, that's just kind of state law, is that the highway people, and this is actually exclusive, well, not exclusive, but odd for Kansas, is that the state people have to maintain a fence for the highway.
Gotcha. So. Okay, so I mean, it's almost there's an official, and then you've got to have your own behind it. Okay, that makes more sense. Well, sweet. Again, we're speaking with Cherry Nelson and James Cooper here this morning, a few agents with the K-State Extension offices. We got a couple minutes here. Any final notes on ag law or any other notes that you guys wanted to bring in out to our listeners here this morning?
No, I kind of briefly touched on some ag law, but really I spoke on it because of the agronomy night and Dr. Andrew McGowan or Roger McGowan. He's the guy knows everything about these lease laws and fence laws.
If you really want some answers, come to that meeting and Roger will fix you up.
Yeah. And James, go ahead and give that information again on that meeting, and then we'll just highlight real quick that coyote management again real quick. But the agronomy night, when's that happen?
Yeah, so agronomy night, it's on December the 17th. It'll be the Independence Community College, their West Campus. And we start at 5:30. We have a free dinner and all sorts of speakers and door prizes. It's going to be a good show.
Great stuff. And then tonight we got coyote management up in Girard as well. What time is that happening?
Yeah, that's happening at 6 o'clock, and it'll be at the Girard High School cafeteria. And the number for both of those is 620-331-2690.
Good stuff. Again, that's James Cooper and Cherry Nelson, a couple of agents with K-State Extension offices. Goodness. Thanks so much, guys, and we'll check in with you guys next Wednesday.
Thanks for having us.
The Mighty 690 KGGF.